Whether you're headed out on a night for the town or just need some help getting errands done without the kids attached to you, hiring a babysitter can be a great benefit to you and your family. But what are some of the things you should look for when hiring a babysitter? And what is the proper etiquette regarding payment, meals, and more? I'm Jody Sorenberger from UrbanSitter.com, and today we'll be talking to you about all of these things and more on Parent Savers, Episode 46, All About Babysitting.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm John Ariel, and as your host, I'm here to have conversations about subjects that parents of new and new again kids care about. On Parent Savers, we engage with experts in the field as well as parent panelists just like you, but we have room for you to be a part of the show, so give us a tweet, call our hotline, leave a comment on our Facebook page, vote in a poll, send us an email, release some carrier pigeons, do whatever it takes to get you in touch with us to help get your questions answered and comments heard, because we love you participating in the show. But in addition to listening, make sure to visit the Parent Savers website for more information about the topics we discuss. And while you're there, make sure to sign up for our free newsletter so you can stay up to date. And don't forget, we have a Parent Savers Club where you can download the archived episodes and get exclusive content and more. So make sure to visit www.parentsavers.com for more information. As a little bit about myself, I'm a new again parent. My son Zyler is 1.5 year old, and I also have 2 4-year-old boys, 4 and 6. And I'm joined by a couple of other new parents in studio as well.
Hi, I'm Ursula McDonald, and I'm 35. I'm a part-time office manager now and full-time mom to my 2 boys, Desmond, who's 4, and Callan, who is 2.
Ooh, I like their names. Hi, everyone. I'm Sunny Galt. I am actually the host of our sister show, Preggy Pals, which is all about pregnancy. I have 2 little boys as well, and looks like this is the boys club today.
Yeah, we got a lot of boys. Yeah, a lot of parents of boys.
Right? So my little boy is Sayer. He is 2.5 years old, and Urban is, let's see, what is he now? 10 months old.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Before we dive into today's topic, let's talk about one of the news headlines. And today's news headline is "A Man Sues Parents for Failing to Love Him Enough." A homeless Brooklyn, New York man is suing his mother and father because he claims the reason he's in his predicament is because his parents haven't supported or loved him enough. The 32-year-old named Bernard Bay claims his parents' lack of parenting skills have denied him the opportunity to live up to his full potential. He told a New York radio station, "I don't feel like my parents love me. They aren't supportive. They're emotionally abusive, verbally abusive. We don't have a family bond that a family should have." And so that, I guess, is why he's homeless. So what do you guys think? Do you think that, you know, the parenting decisions from young, do you think he has a case, number one? And two, you know, is there something to what he's saying that maybe the parents should have done something?
I don't think so. My parents were awesome growing up, but my best friend came up from a home, what this guy is describing, and she is on full scholarship at Berkeley in the Haas Business School and had graduating with 3 job offers at the top 5 accounting firms. So I think life is what you make of it. And unfortunately, a lot of people are in the same situation as this guy, but you got to just suck it up and go on with life.
Yeah. I mean, I too came up from a home where my parents are very loving and they're very supportive of me. I think they're my biggest cheerleaders. But at the same time, I think this kind of comes from this whole idea, the society of me. It's me, 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 and everything needs to be given to me. And like you said, Jody, there are people that come from nothing. I mean, our president came from nothing. You know what I mean? And look what he's been able to do with his life. And there's so many stories out there like that, that I don't think we can just blame it on one thing. We have to start taking responsibility for our actions. And yeah, we can be set up a little bit differently, but that doesn't mean you can't succeed in life. So I don't think he has a case.
I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't think he has much of a case, but what it gets me thinking about is, you know, how easy it can be sometimes to become a parent, but and have children, but not necessarily everybody should have children. And,
yeah. Right.
And so, you know, you have to get a driving test to get your driver's license and study and prove yourself. And, you know, just because of human nature, anybody can have children. And that makes me a little sad that whenever I hear of children that aren't being loved and taken care of, you know. But I also agree, my grandfather came from a terrible upbringing and had no shoes and nothing. And he got scholarships and became a doctor. And so, you know, there has to be personal accountability.
I guess where we net out then is that, you know, we think a lot about, as parents, what can we do to help our kids? And I mean, we listen to shows like Parent Savers and, you know, that's important, but there's also something within the kid that's got to be there too. So I think that we can set them up as well as possible, but then they've also got to have the drive and ambition.
Well, and on the other hand, you always hear, you hear about parents who did everything to try to raise their kids properly, and it still goes awry.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's a little bit of both.
Right.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Babysitting can be a true lifesaver for families, but there's so many aspects to it that knowing what to look for in a babysitter, even where to find them, can be daunting. Today, we've got the perspective of a babysitter to help shed some light on this topic that has many parents confounded. We're talking to Jody Sornberger from UrbanSitter.com, a real-life babysitter, about the babysitting landscape today. Welcome to the show, Jody.
Thank you for having me.
So, I guess let's start off with one of the big topics that a lot of parents are worried about is how much do babysitters cost these days?
Your arm and your leg. I'm just kidding. No, it depends on where in California or where in the U.S. that you're living, of course. But in California, I've noticed a range even from here to like San Francisco. San Francisco sitters charge probably almost double what San Diego babysitters charge. Even on the website Urban Sitter, you can see the price difference when I'm looking at like San Francisco babysitters.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just where you are. But in San Diego, the prices vary. My rates for one child start at 10.
Okay.
So I've seen things on or prices on the website from like 7 or 8 for one child upwards to way too much, in my opinion.
Right.
I'm just wondering if you have multiple children, because all of us here have multiple children. A, how does that affect the cost? Like, is there a discount because there's two? And then is there, I guess, a cap where you're like, hey, I can't. You've got five kids and I'm only one. Sorry.
Well, when it comes to money, the rate actually goes up when you have more kids.
Right.
It's not a discount thing, unfortunately. So
wait. So is it go from like
$10 to $20 an hour?
25?
Oh, no.
Okay, that's what I meant by discount.
Oh, discount. Oh, yeah. No, for two kids, I start at 12, so it's just a $2 difference.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It's not like doubled. No, definitely not. That would be insane. But especially up to three kids. When it comes to you doing multiple kids, that's something I'm used to because I worked in an elementary school classroom, and so if the teacher had to go somewhere or just leave for a second, I was in charge of 20. And they do run. So you have to just keep your focus. Like if you have a toddler and you have like a 4-year-old, you have to be able to pick up the toddler. If the 4-year-old's going somewhere, you can't just leave the toddler.
Right.
So you have to know that you have to be in more than one place at one time.
Right. Now, is that something that would be like in the profile or something of the babysitter? Like how many they feel comfortable or how young? Like what if you have a newborn?
So on at least the Urban Sitter profile, there's an experience spot and it lists like toddler up to teenagers. So everything from newborns to teenagers, it shows how many years of experience someone's had. So if you're looking at the website, you might want to look at where your children fall into the age bracket and see how much experience that sitter has with those ages. And if they have qualifications that you really want, they can charge more.
Well, so what are some of the qualifications that parents might look for in a babysitter? What would you recommend the parents look for, or what do babysitters kind of sell themselves as having good qualifications?
Well, I personally have a teacher's aid certificate, so I'm really good with working with kids and doing homework and teaching, basically, because I worked in an elementary school for 2 years and got that experience. But a lot of parents look for background checks, which our site offers. And then another big one is CPR certifications, which my roommate has that, and so there's a bunch of sitters on the website that have CPR, which I think is really important to know if you're looking after someone's child.
All right, so here's confession time. Maybe you guys can tell from some of the questions I'm asking, but we're horrible at hiring babysitters. I think that our oldest is like 6, and probably we've had a babysitter like 3 times, maybe, and a lot of that's because we were forced to. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of I think different reasons for that, but one of them is, we feel pretty bad about how bad we screwed up our kids' bedtime routine.
You don't want someone coming in and judging you.
Yeah, exactly. Or I don't want someone to be subjected to some of the crazy stuff that we do. I mean, do you see that with parents? Do you see some crazy stuff and you're willing to do it? Or, I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, not that we are doing anything like they have to rub my tummy to go to sleep or anything. But, we still stay in the room. We sing to them a little bit. We do some stuff because, I mean, it's kind of attachment parenting to some extent.
I do the same exact things that you do because I can kind of read the child on whether they're good at going to sleep when most of the time they're not. So I've slept on a lot of wooden floors below the crib, sung a lot of songs, which I feel bad for the children because my voice is not pretty. And
neither is mine.
Yeah, so I pretty much do what the parent does because I'm technically like the sub parent for the night. And so they need to keep their routine, whether they have like a really strict one or it's more sporadic. But regardless, I need to be there so they're comfortable.
I think that's good to hear. I mean, at least for me, because that's one of the things that we worry about. What about, do you guys get a lot of babysitters?
We haven't done it yet. No.
Not at all.
Well, okay, so I have a neighbor that comes over sometimes, and she happens to be a good friend as well. But we need to find a babysitter because I don't want to always just rely on them to come over, right? And my husband and I have had this conversation over and over again because I think parents just need a break. Like, even if we don't have something big planned, I think that you just kind of need a break. But it's always like, well, who do we get and how and, you know, and then how do we pay for it? And usually things come down to money for us. And we're like, maybe we should just stay at home. But, you know, one thing that we are considering and actually, you know, Jody, I'm not sure if Urban Sitter does this, but having more of a mommy's helper kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that the site offers as
well?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
I go over to a woman's house every Friday and I watch her little girl just while she has to do errands or they're moving, so she has to pack up the house.
Right.
And so anything that you need, she needs me to do, I do. Dishes, cleaning up, anything. That's just something you put in the job description for what you want.
How much do you end up doing a lot of chores then, or how much are they saying, you know what, I need to do the chores, so can you watch the kids?
I'm more watching the child, but if the kid is eating, I can do dishes. I can multitask like that. I don't have to be staring at the kid the whole time, which is kind of creepy if I do. So.
Nice. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about the aspects of babysitting that I know a lot of us are concerned with. So we'll be back after this. All right, welcome back to Parent Savers. And today we're talking about babysitting do's and don'ts. And I guess we're kind of either typical or atypical because here in the studio we've got a lot of parents that are hesitant to use babysitters or rely on others. And so I think maybe we do have some concerns. So what are some concerns that you see a lot of parents have about babysitting or babysitters?
Sometimes I think the parent is more upset about the situation than the kid. Like, I'll get text messages from them like, did she stop crying? And I'm like, yep, no tears here, just playing. But it's hard for parents, I think, to leave their children, especially for the first time with someone you don't know. So I think that's one of the main concerns of, like, how is this person going to get in my shoes and take on my role as their parent for that couple hours?
Right.
And so I think as babysitters, we're more so at the beginning, like, everything's okay to the parent, and then once the parent leaves, it's like everything's okay to the kid.
Right. It's actually probably pretty funny to you to hear how much the things, if you knew all the stuff that we were probably worried about, like, oh my gosh, what about this? And you know, it's fine, it's the kids are fine and they're gonna play and I'll talk to them.
That's why you always have the babysitter's number, and we don't mind at all if you're texting us and when you're out, like, did she finally stop crying or did they go to bed? And we'll keep you updated just so you have that peace of mind when you're out and you're able to have fun. But I ask parents, I'm like, what is the time limit of crying you want me to give them until I contact you, or what's the boundary? Because every parent has different boundaries of when they want to know something's going on. But at the same time, you can't be just interrupting the parent constantly because they're out trying to have fun and that's the reason you're there.
Right. And usually it probably comes more from the parents contacting you versus you contacting them.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a contact a parent.
Do you use a lot of technology these days? Do you send any, like, videos or pictures or just texts? Or is that kind of a case-by-case basis, too?
Case by case. Yeah. It depends on the family. If I'm like, I know the kids really well, then I think it's okay to take a picture. But if it's okay. my first time and send it to the parents. But if it's my first time with the family, I don't think I have the right to be taking pictures of your child, to be honest. But yeah, unless you ask me, like, take pictures and send them, then I'm completely fine with that. And you're
so
in control of the situation. I think the parents are very much in control, and they don't even realize it so much. We'll do whatever you want us to do. Right. You are paying us.
Well, so does that include, like, you know, let's say my husband and I are going out for a night on the town and we're going to come back at 10 or 11. Do you give kids a bath? Do you cook? Like, what all is included in it?
Anything the kids need. I watched a family last semester where I picked up the kids from daycare and then brought them home, made them dinner, got them ready for bed, and then the parents came home. So I'll do anything that it needs to be done
within the amount of time. So if you charge $10 an hour, it's still the same no matter how much you do during that time.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Got it.
And I'll never leave, I don't know other babysitters, but I'll never leave like dishes in the sink because you don't want to come home to dirty dishes. So after the kids go to bed, I'll do the dishes or when they're doing something else, anything like that.
Well, what about your meal? And like, do we make sure that you
that you're fed?
I guess I guess it would depend on what time you came over. And
yeah,
everything.
It depends on what time. And then I normally always bring food because I have I'm gluten intolerant. So a lot of kid-friendly food is not gluten intolerant food. So, but when it comes to meals, I like to cook, and I'd rather see kids eating like a meal I just made rather than like heating something up. So it depends on the parent. But when I was making meals every week for the kids, I would make them like grilled chicken and vegetables and like homemade mac and cheese, because I'd rather them see them eat something a little more healthy than just pop something from the freezer into the microwave.
I feel like the instinct as a parent would be to make it as easy for you as possible, again, because we probably think that it's so much harder than maybe it really is for the babysitter.
Well, keep in mind, we've seen the good times and the bad
exactly.
times. We know everything.
Yeah. That's right.
But like, see, I think that we would, our instinct might be like, you know, let's just order pizza or just order something from out.
Which
but you actually prefer cooking.
Which is fine. Yeah, yeah. It depends on the kids, but I don't know. I just came from, my mom never gave me like anything that was heated up in the microwave. So when I'm watching kids, I kind of think of them as my little siblings. And I don't know if I'd want to feed that to my little siblings.
See, it's great because I think babysitters sometimes can be a better influence on your kids than you can, right?
Well, yeah, it's true because you kind of have visions of, you know, and this isn't fair to the babysitters, but you have visions of kids coming in and tearing up your house and, you know, boys coming over if they're girls and, you know, whatever. And it's nice to hear, Jody, that you have that perspective because it gives me hope that we could find someone. Your biggest fear is that someone else isn't going to take care of your kids the way you would take care of your kids, you know?
That is probably, I think, the biggest fear for parents. But you have to get someone you trust. If you have a bad feeling when you meet someone, like, if it's not a must-have go-out night, don't leave your kids with them. Like, it's your say, and you don't have to say yes to a babysitter just because they're there.
Okay. So if they came over and you're just not having a good feeling about it, you can politely say, we've actually decided that we're not going to go out tonight.
I mean, maybe give them, like, $5 for gas, but then it's your kids, and they're what you love most, so you're not going to leave that with something you don't trust.
I usually leave my kids with family, but sometimes I feel like I'm going to the well too much with asking the grandparents or the aunties. And so one thing I wonder about of hiring somebody else and coming in, my kids are great kids, but, of course, there's always discipline, you know, with 2 and 4, and they try, like, to push those boundaries and test you. And so is it difficult to discipline somebody else's children, and how does that go?
That's actually one of the questions I ask when I first meet parents is, how do you discipline your kids and how do you actually go through with it? Like, not in those words, but like, just try to feel out how much of discipline is in the family, because if they think they are going to walk all over me, they have the wrong impression, because I'm not there to I'm going to be their friend. I tell the kids, I'm like, either I can be your best friend or I could be your worst enemy, because I'm not going to have you walk all over me, and I don't think your parents would either. So if you do the 1, 2, 3, and then you're in timeout, I'm going to do the 1, 2, 3, and you're in timeout. Okay, it's good. Not going to be any different than what the parents do. And so I always ask if you have a certain routine you do for discipline.
Yeah, and see, that's with the family. They know my routine, and they know, like, even at a family gathering, that if they're the one that sees the kid do something, they can pick that up. Yeah. And so it's nice to know that the babysitters are open to that as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So are there any rules that you have for babysitting, either written or unwritten? Either you have a book that you've read or something you go by, or, you know, maybe there's some unwritten rules, like, you know, I really shouldn't be checking TMZ constantly on my phone while, like, I'm watching other people's kids.
When it comes to your phone, the only reason I keep my phone on when I'm babysitting, especially when the kids are awake, is if the parents want to contact me. And I don't have that problem where I have very many friends that are always trying to contact me. But I think for the most part, most of the sitters I know, that their attention when they're with the kid is on the kid. Because especially two-year-olds, when they decide they want to go somewhere, they can do it with even just you looking at your phone to check a text message.
Right.
And they can be gone. So you're there to look after them, and you can't be doing something
on your
phone. Be fully
present and engaged.
Nothing on your phone that's is that important.
How does, you know, either your site or I guess other sites in general, and again, I've not have not used these or yours, and hopefully after the show we will. You know, how does it kind of work? It's kind of like a dating site for your kids.
Yeah. Urban Sitter is an online babysitting website. What's different about us is we use Facebook Connect, so it connects to your friends that you have on Facebook, which is one of the great features, I think, about Urban Sitter, because it shows you what friends that are on the site and then what babysitters they use and who they recommend.
Okay.
So you can go to those same babysitters. If you're looking just through the babysitters' profiles, you enter where you live and like what certain specifications you want in a babysitter, such as like CPR, background check, or any of that. And then it sorts the babysitters for you. And so you look through their profiles. And now babysitters on Urban Sitter are upgrading. So we have videos. And so you can see a video of the potential babysitter and kind of get a feel for their personality that way. And then if you like the babysitter, you request an interview, and it can be in person or over the phone. And then, or you could just book them. And it has our availability on the website as well, of when we're available and when we're not.
I think it's crazy that there's such a high-tech way to do it now. Mm-hmm. I think there's still other, you know, traditional ways to find babysitters as well. I know for us, we have a couple of high school girls on our street, and either like when we meet, when they moved in or when we met them, you know, my wife was saying, one of them came up and said, I like to babysit, and she's like, that's good, she's putting herself out there. And the other one, I think we actually, they have a dog, and they were helping us with the dog, and oh, by the way, I babysit. And so, but I think that, you know, teenage girls a lot, especially, will put themselves out there or be encouraged to put them out there. And I think you might be surprised in your neighborhood, you might have some babysitters you could find as well.
Well, it seems so different from when I was a babysitter, because I grew up babysitting. And, you know, in my neighborhood, I cared for a lot of kids. And it was somebody you knew, and there was that trust. I would imagine if I was to contact somebody who was outside, I'd like to do like maybe where we met with the babysitter at like the park or something, or at the house where you played in the backyard, and just do it on like for maybe like a 2-hour time or something, or an hour to begin with, and then it'd be just really casual in the afternoon, and see if that rapport is there with the children, and so that you could see if I needed to step in and, you know, let you know, oh, when he does this, the key is that you bring out this little bear or whatever it is. You know, and then we feel comfortable so that hubby and I could, you know, take off for a night.
And be
relaxed. Do you do that a lot, warming up dates?
Yeah, I do, especially with, like, any new family, probably I come in and spend an hour or two with the kid. And then also when I first started working for the website, they had these, like, mommy days. And so I volunteered to come in for 2 hours and just, like, play with the kid while the mom was around the house doing stuff. And so that was kind of like a meet and greet, and I got families that way. And then Urban Sitter also does a lot of meet and greets, too, where we'll be at an event and we'll take care of kids so the parents can kind of see how we interact. Or we also have sitter speed dating.
I love that. I think that is awesome. Seriously.
Yeah. And so, like, you can come in and you can either bring your kids or not. And then we'll have about 8 sitters and 8 parents, and we'll just give them, like, 3 or 4 minutes each, and then we'll keep switching so you can be taking notes on which sitters you like, and you can get 4 or 5 sitters to have on your backup plan.
See, that's nice when last minute plans come out.
Well, and that's what I was saying. That's another reason I like online services like this, is that, you know, if you find a good sitter, well, you may be out one Friday night, and the same time, you know, your friend who recommended the sitter is out one Friday night, and then suddenly, you know, if you put all your eggs in one basket, you're like, you know, you don't have anyone to watch your kids. And so this is a nice way, and I love that speed sitting, or whatever it's called. That's what I'm nicknaming it. service. I think that's great. Yeah.
I always recommend to parents to have more than one sitter. I mean, I always love being the first choice, but I always recommend to have more than one, because if I have another job that night, or I have to study or something along those lines, I don't want you to not be able to go out or do what you need to do. So I always recommend to have at least 1 to 3 sitters, just so you have backups. And I know most of the families that I babysit for do have backups just in case.
Yeah.
So I think that was a great conversation. I think we probably covered this, you know, we covered a lot of different areas, but let's, I guess, boil it down. That if, what do you think is the most important thing for parents to know about babysitters?
That we want to take care of your kids. We're not there because we have to. We could go and find money other ways. And so we want to be there and take care of your kids and have fun with your kids. It's fun for us too. And so we don't want you to be worried about us being there because we choose to be there.
Nice. That's, yeah, that's a good tip in a way that I think as a parent, I sometimes would forget to look at it like that. So I think that was really good. So thank you so much, Jody, for helping us learn more about babysitting. If you listeners want more information, please go to today's show page on our episodes page at parentsavers.com, where we're also going to link to more information about Urban Sitter, as well as some other great babysitting resources on that page. And our conversation is actually going to continue with Jody after the show for our Parent Savers Club members. And if you're interested in hearing more about that, go to our website, sign up for it. We're going to talk about some babysitting horror stories. Before we wrap today's show, here's a question from Jacob via Twitter. What are your thoughts on toys that use small magnets? I've heard some horror stories about magnets falling off and being a choking hazard.
This is Julie Valise, consumer safety expert. Jacob, according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, there has been an increase in reports of children ingesting magnets. The reports include children mostly in the age range of 18 months to 15 years of age. But the problem is more than a choking hazard. These magnets are extremely powerful, and it is the ingesting of more than one that is of greatest concern. Most people would think that these magnets would just pass through the system, but magnets can travel at different speeds through the body and come together at different places in the intestinal tract or the stomach, causing pinching and blocking of vital organs. High-powered magnets that are the size of a pea and can be swallowed are now prohibited in children's toys for those children younger than 14 years old. Anyone with young children should keep any type of product with these kind of magnets well out of reach. And if you do have a product with these types of magnets, it should be inspected and all magnets should be accounted for. Additionally, if there is ever a time that there is a possibility that a child has swallowed a magnet, I recommend getting medical attention right away.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Parent Savers. Thanks so much for joining us. We love to hear from you. I said it earlier, but if you have any questions for our expert about today's show or any parenting topic to discuss, call our Parent Savers hotline at 619-866-4775. Give us a tweet on our Parent Savers Twitter account, at Parent Savers. Comment on our Facebook page, either Parent Savers or New Mommy Media. Get in touch with us. We want to hear from you. Don't forget, Parent Club members, tune into our behind-the-scenes chat immediately following the show, which is coming up right now. Next week, we're going to talk about more topics that new dads and new moms care about, and the topic is separation anxiety, which actually kind of plays into, I think, the babysitting topic a little bit, too, that we anticipate separation anxiety or parents have it. All right, thanks for listening, everybody, to Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.